city on a hill. Because in that verse in Matthew, it says that we're supposed to be that city on a hill, that light that cannot be hid. And what I always like to do is encourage each one of us, we're supposed to be that city on a hill. I mean, each one of us should be that light that cannot be hid. And periodically I've asked a few people to come up because I want them to share what they are, what Christ has made them to be, the light that he's made them to be. So I'm going to ask Kathy, if you would come up. This is Kathy Radcliffe. Give her applause because it's hard to come up and speak in front of people. Man, you guys are timid this morning. Kathy, how are you doing this morning? Good. Well, Kathy is the president of a group called Harvesting for Haiti. Kathy, tell us about the organization, what the goal of the organization is, and how you got involved with it.
Okay, well, the goal of this organization is to give funds to Haitian agriculture organizations so that they can be self-sustaining.
Because we do know, I mean, all of us know that Haiti is a very impoverished country.
Yes.
But probably none of us have ever been there. Kind of give us, if you can, a view of what it feels like to be there in Haiti and what life is like for the average person in Haiti.
First of all, our organization is a little different than most that go to Haiti in the fact that we are not there as Americans trying to tell them what to do. We are helping them become self-sustaining beyond their own so that they can take over. And that's really important to us as a group. And Haiti is very impoverished. It's 85% unemployment.
Wow.
And the government does not support the people, and they have almost no law enforcement. So with all of those things stacked against them, they are a very spiritual country. They are full of Christian belief, and you can see it all over the country. You see it in the children's faces when they smile.
I bet. So you also work with organizations that are down there yourself. And in fact, you were there in Haiti this past June.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We right now are supporting a group of Haitians, Haitian organization called Planning for Hope and Future. So all of our donations, actually 97% of our donations, go to this organization. And we go down once a year to make sure we do our due diligence to make sure that everything is going the way it should. And we have direct correspondence with them all the time.
So when you were there in Haiti this past June, we got a couple of pictures. First of all, tell us who this individual who was praying, because there was two different plots, or was it an acre? How much land was there? There's two different plots of farmland that were dedicated while you were there.
Right. Right now, we've only been up and going in less than 2 years. They have 10 acres right now, multiple harvests, and they've created 70 jobs.
Wow.
Something we're really, really proud of. So when we went down this year, this summer, actually, we had a dedication of these farms. This is Pastor Jean Beaujour, and he gave a dedication to the farms. And this dedication was stimulated by Todd and his teachings, because I'm forever taking notes. He probably never sees my face over there, because I love his teachings so much. They really speak to the heart of me, and I want to be able to remember them and carry them over. And his sermon last fall was make a banner for God, because by doing that, you are thanking him. So write it down, make a banner to God. And that just kind of got to me. And so I went home, and I wrote to the guys in Haiti, and I said, do you think that we could make a sign, a banner for God, thanking him for all he has done with this project? Well, they absolutely loved the idea. So when we came this summer, they had a sign made.
And we have that picture.
And Pastor Jean is, we had a crowd come, and Pastor Jean then dedicated the farm with this sign. So we made a banner to God, and thanking Todd for that stimulation and how the Holy Spirit really spoke to him that day. It spoke to me, and it went all the way down to Haiti. So this was Philippians 4:13, and the guys wanted this. It's in Creole, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that's exactly what they do. They just keep their heads up to him all the time.
That is awesome. That is tremendous. Now, you may not know, but I always get his name. I mispronounce it. I always say Adi.
Adi.
Adi has been here a few times, and you may have seen him with Bill and Kathy. Tell us about Adi, because he is just an amazing young man.
He is an amazing young man.
We're going to get Kathy emotional now.
Yeah. I met him 7 years ago when I went on a mission trip, and he was my translator. I went on that mission trip for a totally different reason than I came back with, which is the way it works, right?
Absolutely.
He was a senior at that time in college, getting his degree in environmental education, environmental science, and he and I just clicked. He was with another young man and who was also a senior getting his degree in agriculture, and I was so excited about them getting degrees in agriculture and environment and just couldn't wait for them to be able to get out and help their country. And I said, so when you're finished this year, you're going to be able to help your country. And they both looked at me and said, no, there will be no jobs. And that thought haunted me. And Adi and I became very close, fast friends. And he was actually given a vision in his senior year that God spoke to him and said, you will do something special for your country in agriculture. And then he got an idea of what he wanted to do when he came here as an intern with The Ohio State University. And he asked me if I would carry it through. And he needed an organization to fund his idea. And I went way out of my comfort zone. God totally nudged me, and actually he just pushed me. And I said, absolutely, I would. And then I found a board who believes in what we do, that charity does not end poverty, opportunity will.
Absolutely. Very good. So what are the needs of your organization? What are their needs down there? How can we be a part of that?
Well, we always need prayer support. Their challenges are tremendous. So that is huge. We also would love to have you like our Facebook page, so you can find that under Harvesting for Haiti Facebook. And always we need financial support, because our organization pays for rental of land. We pay for the salaries of these young men who are running this, and all operational expenses, and it's expensive. So, sure, we need that. And also, if in another couple of weeks, we'll be bringing a young man, the vice president of the organization, here, and probably we'll be able to have the opportunity to bring him to City on a Hill. And I'm hosting an event, or a dessert and a coffee at our home. So if you would like to come, you're more than welcome to come. We would love to. He will give a presentation and show you all the things that they've done. It's really been incredible what they've been able to do.
Is there any?
Yeah, there's a sign-up sheet back there. And if you want to put your email address, I can give you more facts. I also brought a newsletter and a pamphlet as to really what our organization is all about.
So as the Lord brings, if you're just going through your day and the Lord brings Kathy's face to your mind, pray for Kathy. But if the Lord also brings, and I mean this sincerely, if the Lord brings to your face, to your mind, the face of a Haitian young man and you don't know who it is, it's Audie. Pray for him as well. Kathy, thank you for sharing this with us. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing through this organization. I thank you that you continue to give Kathy and everyone that's on that in that organization and on that board. Wisdom in your direction, we thank you for that. We lift up all these individuals who are a part of this. We speak your direction, your wisdom, your abundance upon them, that they grow in you, and that as just that whole organization is blessed, many more in Haiti come to know you as the Lord and Savior. We praise you and thank you. In your name, Jesus, you be glorified. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. See, that's being a city on a hill. You know, one of the things I remember when I was going to, when I first started going to New Hope Christian Center, which is the church Don and I came out of down in Lima for 20 years. When I first started going there, I saw that there was like a certain number of people that were always, you know, they were the ones that the Lord always spoke to. They were the ones that always had a word. And I kind of in my mind thought, well, there's certain people that just have that gift and that blessing. And there is a gift that's in that. But the truth of the matter is, that is for each one of us. That's why I want each one of us. That's why we chose the name City on a Hill. I want every single one of us to be that city on a hill. Because wherever you are the light of Jesus Christ. And he will use you in amazing ways that you couldn't even imagine or even wouldn't think of. If you'll be like Kathy and you'll just put yourself out there and allow him to nudge you or to push you as you put yourself out there. So let's all be what he's called us to be in that city on the hill. Jesus, we thank you for this time we have. We thank you for this word. We thank you again that as we share this word, your word, it brings life. Because this is you revealing yourself to us. And we're anxious to learn more about you this morning. You be glorified. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. That is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you. You are awesome. Thank you, Jesus. We always have an expectancy for you doing more things because you love us and you are pouring yourself out to us. And we want to be those receptacles of it in every way imaginable. In your name, Jesus. So last week, we started learning about hearing the voice of the Lord. And we were looking specifically about hearing the voice of the Lord, and we were looking at it from the examples, from two different examples, from the examples of Simeon and the example of Ananias. There's many times that we don't fully possess all the promises that Jesus has for us. And part of the reason we don't always possess the promises he has for us is because we haven't learned to hear. When we learn to hear, like Simeon and Ananias, you learn to know what to watch for, and then you can watch for that expectantly. That's why I emphasize, when the Holy Spirit shows you someone's face or shows you something, have an expectation that when you pray and you intercede, it's going to make an impact and a difference in that person's life. So last week, we also looked at Simeon, and the example that we saw from Simeon was that part of learning to hear the voice of the Lord is waiting, but waiting actively. It was that sense of pursuing with determination, hearing the voice of the Lord ourselves. Not just hearing it passively, but hearing it actively. We also learned last week about the Greek word devout. And that word was used to describe both Simeon and Ananias. Both of those who were set up to us as examples about hearing the voice of the Lord. But that same word, devout, that word was used differently as it pertained to both of those men. For one, it had a meaning that was internal. And for the other, it had a meaning that was external. That's important for us to understand on hearing the voice of the Lord in us. So for Simeon, the word devout was tied to hearing the Lord as encouragement. So we're supposed to be able to hear the Lord so that we can hear him because he wants to daily, personally encourage you throughout your day. So that's the internal value of hearing the voice of the Lord. For Ananias, the word devout was tied to hearing the Lord so that he could be used to strengthen others. He heard the voice of the Lord. It's the same thing that I've been talking about. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks something to you or shows something to you so you can speak that word, just what Diane did. So you can speak a word that brings encouragement to others. That is the external value of being able to hear the voice of the Lord. Is there any one of us that is satisfied with our ability in hearing the voice of the Lord? We all want to hear His voice. We should want to hear His voice more. To understand daily, moment by moment, His speaking to us. So there is that learning to hear the voice of the Lord. And it has the internal value. It is Jesus ministering to you. But it also has the external value, which is Jesus ministering through you to others. So the more that we learn to hear the voice of the Lord in our own spirits, the more that we're strengthened, and then the more that we can then strengthen others. But, as in all things in life, the flesh and the carnal can hinder that if we allow it to. So there is that spiritual hearing of the Lord. That spiritual hearing for our internal and for our external benefit. But if you mix in the flesh or you mix in the carnal, you get a corresponding internal and external conflict with that hearing. So here's the example. Here's the analogy that I would give to you. Have you ever noticed that your voice sounds different in your head? As opposed to when you hear your voice recorded in this playback for you? Do you remember the first time you heard your recorded voice? I mean, you were probably surprised, if not shocked. And usually, because I work at a radio station, so I hear this all the time, usually people's first response is denial. I don't sound like that. Well, it's because your voice doesn't sound the same in your head that it does to the rest of the world. It does have a different sound to it. And if we can understand why that is, that's helpful for our understanding the spiritual hearing of His voice for those internal and external benefits. Because if we can understand those internal and external benefits and alleviate that carnal and the flesh, because it's that carnal and the flesh which causes that conflict, that internal and external conflict, which hinders our ability to be able to hear His voice. If you weren't here last week, I can't give you a lot of details, but if you were, you remember we talked about noise-canceling technology. Do you remember that? That's where one sound wave can be used to cancel out another sound wave. I won't go into all the details, but basically if you have one sound wave, and sound waves, you know, have highs and lows, that's the amplitude. So sound waves have highs and lows. If you have one sound wave, and then you create a second sound wave that is 180 degrees the opposite of the first sound wave, so where the first sound wave has highs, it has lows, you've effectively created a brand new sound wave, and that new sound wave has canceled out the original sound wave. So what's true in the natural realm, in this case, is also true in the spiritual realm. Because if you're listening and you're hearing the world, you're listening and you're hearing that which is 180 degrees the opposite of the voice of God. So if you're hearing the world, you're effectively canceling out your ability to hear the voice of God in your life. And again, don't we all want to hear the voice of God? Because He's got things to say to you every moment of the day to encourage you, to give you guidance, to build you up, to strengthen you, to speak something into somebody else, just to give you the joy of knowing that He's aware of you and He loves you and He is present with you at all times. So remove the noise of the world and you'll be able to more clearly hear the voice of the Lord. Makes sense, right? So what's the noise of the world? Well, there's a really simple way to define this. It's really simple. The noise of the world is anything and everything that is opposed to the Word of God. So what is it in our lives that is the voice of the world or the noise of the world? It can be the things that we watch on TV, the things that we hear, the people we talk to, the things we read, whatever it is. But think about the things in your life that is the noise of the world. There's a lot of removing that we have to do if we want to be able to hear clearly the voice of the Lord within us. Amen? Excuse me, but let us go back for just a second. And let's talk about or think about that why our voice sounds different in our own head. why the voice sounds different inside of us. Because every other sound that we hear, we all hear it the same way. So why can't I hear my voice the way you people hear my voice? Why is it different? Well, first of all, I have to understand how the ear actually hears. How does the ear actually hear? Because every sound that you hear, it's really nothing more. It's merely sound waves that are influencing or vibrating your eardrum. And those vibrations of your eardrum then send a signal to your brain. And your brain amazingly is able to decipher and interpret those sounds as or those signals as recognizable sounds. That's amazing. However, consider this. When you're talking, air passes through your vocal cords, and it vibrates those vocal cords. And that's what generates sound. And then that sound wave that's generated by your vocal cords, it goes through your voice box, and it's amplified there in your voice box. And then it comes out of your mouth as words, or probably more specifically as sounds, sounds that other people's ears pick up, and then their brains are able to interpret it as your words. But when you are speaking, when you are generating those sound waves out, those sound waves reverberate off of everything that is around you, all the objects that are around you. Your sound waves actually reverberate off the atmosphere itself, off the air. And all those sound waves bounce right back to you. And your ear picks it up. And it vibrates your eardrum, and that is you hearing your voice externally. So as I'm speaking to you right now, my voice is bouncing off of you. It's bouncing off the chairs, the walls, the carpet, the ceiling, the windows. And it's all coming right back towards me, and my ear is picking it up, and my ear is vibrating to the external sound of my voice. So that's the external sound. You can see we have an emphasis on this message about the internal and the external. That's the external. But there's something that happens when your body begins to generate or formulate those sounds in your vocal cords. When you speak, it is actually those vocal cords as they vibrate, it's actually vibrating your brain case. Your vocal cords and that vibrating, it's changing things. See, when you are hearing things, it's not just when you hear things, it's not just your eardrums picking up those sounds that you speak out that are bouncing back and reflecting back onto your ear and stimulating your eardrum. It's actually that fluttering of your vocal cords vibrating your brain case. It's also affecting your skin, your skull, your jaw, even your oral cavities. Even those vibrate from those fluctuations. They vibrate, and it creates a new sound, a new sound wave, but it's an internal sound wave. So that new sound wave, that internal sound wave, that has a different sound than the external one. Because that internal sound wave, sound waves don't travel as well through tissue and bone as they do through the air. So that internal sound wave has a different tone to it. Your ear, think of it this way, your ear is actually being stimulated. When you speak, your ear is actually being stimulated from what you hear externally and what you hear internally. It's being stimulated by both of those. Both of those have an effect on you, and it affects how you hear your voice. That's why your voice sounds different in your own head, because you're hearing it externally, and you're hearing the vibrations internally as well. So in the natural, think of it this way. In the natural, because we're going to get a spiritual example too. In the natural, your voice vibrating inside of you is actually causing or creating conflict in your eardrum. Because your eardrum is vibrating to the external sound of your voice, but your eardrum is also vibrating to the internal sound of your voice. And the result of that is what you hear with your voice inside your head, what you're hearing is actually altered from the reality that everybody else hears because of that conflict. Now, here's the spiritual analogy that goes along with it. When we allow the external, the world, that which is 180 degrees the opposite of the voice of God, when we allow the external to mix with the internal, which is the voice of God speaking to you, it affects our ability to hear. And so the end result of that is those conflicting vibrations cause your spiritual eardrum to actually cancel out the voice of the Lord. Does that make sense? See, until we get this taken care of, until we eliminate all those external sounds, until we get this taken care of, we're not going to be able to fully enjoy all of the external and internal strength that we get from listening to the voice of God Himself speaking directly to us. We have to learn to eliminate that external so we can fully enjoy all those benefits. Does that make sense? Does that analogy help? Do you feel like you've been in a science class? There will be a test later. There's sheets back there that Donna will hand out. I remember once, Sarah actually said once after one of the history things, she posted something on Facebook that touched my heart. She said, "The best history teacher I never had was Todd." So you got a little science this week as well. All right, so with that understanding, let's go back and let's look again at Simeon. We were talking last week about Simeon and about Ananias. We'll talk about Ananias next week. I want to focus a little bit more on Simeon. Because with Simeon, remember, Simeon is the one that was holding. He got that opportunity to hold the Messiah, to hold the Lord's Christ. He was told by the Holy Spirit that he would, before he died, he would have the opportunity to see the Lord's Christ. So for him, we get an example of how we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. Because Simeon heard the voice of the Lord. He knew and he was waiting. But it was that act of waiting that he had, actively waiting to see that promise that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. So let's read this from Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. Luke 2, 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. This man was just and devout." We've looked at just last week, righteous. We looked at devout last week. We looked at waiting last week, consolation of Israel. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, if you read this verse in any other translation, you read Luke 2:25 in any other translation, it's going to read almost exactly like this. And it always ends with this phrase, "and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now that's an important truth, because the Holy Spirit that was upon him is the same Holy Spirit that is in you. But now watch this. This just really staggers me. I love this. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. If you read that same verse, Luke chapter 2, verse number 25, and you read it in the original Greek, and you can go online and you can do this. If you read Luke 2:25 in the original Greek, and you read it in a word for word, an actual word for word, from the Greek to the English translation, it reads this way. "And behold, a man there was in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the man this was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Spirit was wholly upon him." Huh. Catch that difference? See, this is saying two things. It's saying, first of all, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Thank you, Jesus. That's true. The Holy Spirit was upon him and influencing him. But it's also saying that the Spirit of God was wholly on him. That is a much deeper understanding and revelation than we usually give credit to that one verse. That's awesome to see it that way. This is saying, what this is speaking to us is that, one, the Holy Spirit was an influence upon the man, Simeon. That's the first part. But there's more to it than that. If you look at that Greek word that is there that says holy, that Greek word, that specific word in that specific verse, that specific word for holy. I just love this. I mean, does this get you excited so far? Man. That specific word for holy means two things. It means, first of all, sacrifice. So one, there is going to be a sacrifice that's upon you. And that's part of that pursuing, actively pursuing, hearing his voice. But here's the other part, and this is what really, you put these two together, it's so powerful. So it's sacrifice, but it also is indicating to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be consecrated to him. So what this is actually saying, this word for holy, actually in this verse, specifically the definition means to be set apart for service to him under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember last week when we were learning from Simeon, we were learning to hear. And what we're learning to hear, one of the things that we learned, and I've emphasized it and I'll emphasize it probably next week also, is Simeon was pursuing actively to hear the voice of the Lord. He was pursuing it actively. So, the one who is pursuing actively, hearing the voice of the Lord, is going to be set apart by the Holy Spirit for service to him. Do you want to hear the voice of the Lord? Do you want to hear the voice of the Lord in your life daily because he's speaking to you daily? If you want to hear the voice of the Lord, then pursue his voice and pursue it actively. Because as you're pursuing his voice, the Spirit of God will be wholly upon you, setting you aside, setting you apart for service unto him. And that's why it's not just one person. When I was in Lima, it's not just one person that is hearing the voice of God. And that is that super saint that gets to say, here's what the voice... No, the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us. So if you want to hear the voice of God, pursue his voice. And the Spirit of God will be wholly upon you, setting you aside. Setting you apart for service unto him. Man. No, come on, isn't that good? Man, I was so excited when I saw that. Isn't that good? For me, that was a key that unlocked the understanding of that. But it gets even better. There's more to it. More to it than even that. So, we have the Spirit of God being wholly upon Simeon as Simeon is actively pursuing the voice of the Lord. But we can get an even deeper understanding of that word that we saw, holy. That word that meant sacrifice. That word that means sanctified, set aside, consecrated for his service. We can get an even deeper understanding of that word. And we get a deeper understanding when we read, and this is why it's so important to read the Bible in context. You get a deeper understanding of that word holy when we understand its usage just two verses earlier in verse number 23. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 23, we're going to look at the word holy. I'm going to read to you both 22 and 23, but I want you to see holy in verse number 23. Everybody still with me? Am I going too fast? I get excited and I go very fast. I got to get you like a slow sign so you can just kind of hold that up once in a while. Slow down. All right, so here is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Now, on the day of her purification, so remember, the whole story of Simeon is Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. And then the Holy Spirit had him, told him exactly when to go to the temple. Because he went to the temple just as Joseph and Mary are bringing the baby Jesus. And then there, Simeon gets to hold in his arms the promise of Jesus Christ. So this is what's happening. So now when the day of her purification, Mary, according to the law of Moses, was completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, again, this is why it's so great to see the specific meanings. The Greek word for holy here, it indicates all those other things, but it also adds something else. The Greek word for holy here, this is indicating to us, this is speaking about first fruits. First fruits. Does anybody know what first fruits are? Sometimes I have to teach on first fruits. I love the whole concept of first fruits. In this application, it's talking about first fruits. In other words, the firstborn was to be dedicated to the Lord as a first fruit offering because you give the first, you give the best to God. That's the whole concept behind first fruits. You give the first, you give the front end, you give the best to God. That's what's taking place here with Simeon. by Simeon, and the same thing's true for you and I, by Simeon actively pursuing the voice of the Lord, he is set apart as a first fruit. This is all a matter of positioning. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be positioned to be able to hear the voice of the Lord and receive all the blessings that come along with that. And when you're talking about first fruits blessings always, what you give, you get back multifold. So position is important. Here's the simple oversimplification of the principle, the Old Testament principle of first fruits. As you give on the front end of the harvest, God Himself will ensure a bountiful harvest on all the rest of the harvest. This is a concept that we used at Yes FM all the time. Every share-a-thon I can think of for probably at least the last 10 or 12 years that I was there, we always used first fruit principles. We had a share-a-thon, here's what we would do. Every day, we would set aside. We knew that, I couldn't tell exactly what was the first $100 that came in, but we knew, we set aside every day, first $100. Symbolically, we're taking that first $100 and we were giving that first $100, we were investing it back in other ministries. And we found other like ministries, like Proclaim FM or WLMB. We found other ministries that were like ours, and as a first fruit offering, we took that first $100 of every day of Share-a-thon and we gave it. Because we were giving on the front end, believing that God would bless the harvest on the back end. And sometimes it took, there was especially towards the end, there was sometimes we'd finish Share-a-thon at about 45% of our goal. We're done at 45%. But over the next couple of months, God brought in all the money. Was there ever a time that we didn't get the full amount eventually in? Was there? Really? Forget that part. Because the majority of the time, and usually what would happen is we'd wind up with actually a little bit more. So if our goal was like 100,000, we'd often end up like 102,000, you know, or something like that. If we always dedicated that first fruits, you give on the front end and God blesses on the back end. He blesses all the rest of what's given. So you pursue hearing the voice of the Lord daily in your lives. That is the first fruits on the front end. Then God is going to, you're going to reap the harvest all throughout the rest of your day on all the blessings that He has, on all those internal, the encouragement that you get from Him, as well as the external where He's using you to strengthen other people. He's using you to powerfully advance His kingdom, using you. I don't know about you, but I can tell you there's nothing more gratifying in my life than when I know He's using me to advance His kingdom. Nothing is more fulfilling than that. So let me give you another example of first fruits. I said this a little bit earlier today, but if you remember, a couple weeks ago, I suggested, and I've said it several times, I suggested, because I meant this. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. As He shows you people's faces in your mind, you pray about those people. As He shows you someone's face, don't just put it aside. Stop. Intercede for that person. And ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to pray for that person? And then pray for them accordingly. That is a first fruits opportunity. Has anybody had an experience with that in the last couple of weeks? Okay, good. Well, I'm going to hope you're going to do so even more. And I hope more of you do as well. Because I'm going to give you an example. And I didn't tell her until this morning as I was coming. I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to use you as an example, Donna. Which always makes her really happy. But I said, don't worry, it's a good example. So 2 weeks ago, I know that God woke up Donna in the middle of the night. I didn't know this until after the fact. Because she was far more spiritually sensitive than I was just sleeping soundly. So if the Lord was talking to me, I didn't hear it. However, Donna was woken up by the Holy Spirit. And there was two people, two faces that God put in her mind. So in the middle of the night, you know the easiest thing to do is to roll over and go back to bed. And you think to yourself, well, I'll pray for them in the morning, if you even think that at all. But Donna diligently got up and she prayed for those two people. And she went even further. She actually went online in the middle of the night and she wrote emails as the Holy Spirit directed her, to both of those individuals. Now, I've had contact with both of those individuals after the case. And both of them were struggling at that moment. One was struggling desperately at that moment. And I know that because I had contact with them. I know that the words that the Holy Spirit spoke through her helped them through those times and through those moments. Wouldn't it be awesome If we all did that all the time. I know she did it just like 2 days ago. I know the same thing happened again. Now, I haven't talked to those two individuals. Apparently, God brings people to Donna in pairs. So he's probably not going to bring your face alone to Donna. If you need Donna to pray for you, it's probably going to be with somebody else as well. But I know even for myself, 2 nights ago, I told you before that a lot of times God will give me dreams. And those dreams that are from him or those visions that are for him, it's just before you wake up. And so Friday morning, just before I woke up, I had this dream, and it was about a former employee of mine. And I'm talking about a former employee, not of Yes FM, from the radio station I was at before. So this is an individual that moved to the West Coast like 20 years ago. I have seen and heard nothing from him in about 20 years. But I saw his face like I was looking at a photograph. I don't know about you, but you know sometimes you have a dream, you're aware that it's somebody, but you don't really see the details of their... Man, I saw his face like a picture. Details. Wrinkles in everything. I mean, I could see, and I could even see how he changed over the 20 years. And in that dream, God showed me several things. And I woke up and I prayed for those things. One of the things was, now, I don't know. I know he's married. I don't know that he has a little girl. Not in the natural, but I know he has a little girl because of what the Holy Spirit showed me in that dream. And I woke up and I prayed for that little girl. I prayed for his little girl. At some point, hopefully I find out. I don't know how to get a hold of him. But imagine if we would all, as the Holy Spirit shows us these things, this is the first fruits. These are examples. These are first fruit opportunities. Because as you are praying, you're being used. It's that internal. First of all, it encourages you. But second of all, it is the external as well, because he's using you to strengthen and to build up somebody else. And as we'll see in just a moment, those first fruit blessings, you want to get involved in the first fruit blessings, because the first fruit blessings are always far huger than you imagine. So let me end with this verse. This is verse number 26. So still Luke chapter 2, verse number 26. It says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit," speaking of Simeon, "had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now the word that we see there that is revealed, that word revealed means things given in response to. And it also means to be revealed by the Lord. So, and it had been revealed. Things given in response to and revealed by the Holy Spirit. That's what that word means. So as Simeon was actively pursuing hearing the voice of the Lord, the response was that the Holy Spirit revealed to him this magnificent promise, this magnificent blessing that he would get to see the Lord's Christ. He even got to hold the Messiah, the promise. Hold him up and praise God with Jesus in his hands. Apply this to yourself. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to show you? I mean, every day, what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you? Pursue daily hearing his voice. That's the first fruits, the front end of the first fruits. And then benefit, you reap the benefits of all of those first fruit blessings. Make yourselves a first fruit. First fruits, not to the world, but to service to him. And you will reap those first fruit benefits, internally and externally. And again, I promise you, the first fruit blessings, the blessings that come with the first fruits, they continue and they are far greater than anything that you give on the front end. And they continue. I want to be positioned. I want you to be positioned to hear the voice of the Lord, to have that internal benefit, the external benefit, and to be positioned to receive all of just all the corollary blessings, just like he did for Simeon. Simeon got that blessing of getting to see the Christ before he died. What are the blessings that he has for you? Position yourself. And it comes from learning to daily pursue hearing his voice in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we close this morning.